I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers episode 241, the box office report, where we'll only probably have one movie.
One movie.
There's going to be one movie in the box office report.
Did anything else come out this
There's
week?
There's going to be a big drop between one and two.
Yes.
So I guess before we dive in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Blake.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
This is Tom. That was my trickier. What was that? This is who?
This is Balake.
It's like old times.
It is. The band is back together.
Yeah. What was the last movie you did?
The Force Awakens.
I'm here one for Star Wars movies now. That's it.
You guys get me once a year.
I was like, I could have sworn it was like a Marvel movie in between. That's hilarious.
No, I don't think so.
He gets one pass.
It's actually, it's almost a year to the day.
Right, almost right? To the day.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Probably.
He gets a single pass. Use it wisely.
We've had two different locations since the last time he was here.
So you've never been in the closet?
You missed the closet. Yeah.
We
congratulations.
For months broadcasted in a closet.
He's an R. Kelly.
He's out and proud. Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, we were tucked back in the corner because this basement wasn't finished.
Yeah.
We had to have it finished. And so now we have this.
Before
opulent.
It was just like...
Yeah. Well, as you can look around, you can see it's lush but not lavish.
Yeah, I mean, it's for a bunker.
Right, not a bunker.
No, that's not like, a bunker. Bunker's gone.
That's like eight studios ago.
What is this one?
This is the
research center? Or?
What? Now I got to say it all at once. It's like trying to remember somebody's phone number. Lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude.
Okay.
It's an institute now.
It's an institute. Yes.
We've graduated.
We need to have Matt Reedy make a special logo for each one.
Oh, yeah.
He should do a series of posters for each location.
And just like lines through them.
Yeah.
Like,
Nope.
Or like, nope. Dates.
Yeah. Or like, born dead. Born dead.
Yeah. I think we're going to be in this one for a while.
I think that's a safe bet.
I thought that about the last. Well, not the closet, but the one.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so glad we're not.
Think that.
The closet was so small, we had to take the leaflets out of the table. Like, there were, we didn't have enough room.
It was very
easy. We had to crawl under the table to get to the other side.
Kevin really did.
I missed the dark days, huh?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No, you were
did.
Here for those.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it, and it helps us tremendously. We do not.
I didn't think so.
It's Christmas time. They're busy. They're spending time with their family.
That's true.
But when you're spending time with your family, that's a great time to pester your loved ones to leave.
Just play it on the radio.
To leave reviews
for
Real Spoilers on iTunes.
Or just put it on.
We cross,
you know, like just like in between Perry Como and, you know, Doors Day or
roll into our Santa Claus episode.
Yeah, there it is.
There you
that's
go.
A good
just
one.
Slide it in. They'll never know.
Just slide it in.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, why don't you buy them all iPods and subscribe them?
Because iPods are insanely expensive.
Hmm.
No,
are you saying our listeners don't have money, Joe?
No, I'm saying they probably don't have $400 to spend on an iPod. That's a thing. Because I broke mine. I had like 160 gig.
Yeah. They don't even make the classics anymore.
That's, you had to buy
the good ones with like 500 gigabyte hard drives or whatever.
They're gone.
they were like, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
It's all the cloud these days, kids. It's all the cloud.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget that you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. You can go there and share an episode. Join the League of Show Sharers. People that were kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week. Timmy Tuzoons, Nick Scott, Librarian Cynthia, Chris Sanders, Lane LeVanway, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Travis Tewitt, Julianne Jordan, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brenton Smith with the monocle.
With the monocle.
With the monocle. Mm-hmm. Tom Comiskey and Jason Herndon. So thanks, guys. We greatly appreciate it. And if you would like to join our League of Show Sharers, it's very simple. Just go to our Facebook page and just find the most recent episode, click share, and share it with your friends and loved ones, and maybe tell them why you enjoy the show.
Exactly.
With such passion.
We also crossed 2,600 likes.
Oh, did
Facebook.
We?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look
yeah.
at that.
So thank you, everybody that liked the page.
We're getting there.
Also, you can join the League of Image Likers, like the following.
You can come on that list?
I'll work on that. That's, that might have to be a spinoff podcast. Just me reading names for 3 days. Yeah.
Over 2,000.
Wow.
So far.
Yep, that's crazy.
The Loyals.
The what?
League of Image Likers. I'll work on that.
Yeah, please.
I'll work on
and a song, a commemorative song.
Yeah, yes. You also need a special musical number.
Well, there
I'm
it is.
Work on
all right.
It's just placeholder right now.
You've got a lot of work to do.
It's a rough draft.
Yeah.
Steven Wright.
So I guess we will, that's enough chatter. We will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and I had to add a couple of extra beads to the abacus this weekend because this is quite a doozy.
Come on.
Medea's Christmas special.
Where
nowhere.
Are you going?
I'm going nowhere.
Where are you going?
To hell,
God,
if, I don't,
so
to hell if I don't change my weight.
He's so bad.
I was like, I don't know what an abacus is, but you are sick.
But you had, not, but you had me at beads.
Yeah.
I was say, it's there.
He knows it what
was,
beads are.
God. Yep. He just heard the word bead.
Yeah. So Moana's number one again?
So this weekend in the box office, Disney's Moana is number two. And number one, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, came in with an estimated $155 million.
That's a big old opening.
On a $200 million budget. Yeah. So
that's not worldwide.
That's domestic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know if they
what
have.
I don't even remember. What did Force Awakens open to?
Probably $3 trillion.
Oh, no. I think it was the biggest.
Yeah, it was the biggest.
It was in the 200 somewhere.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, but definitely this one is not too shabby. It only has like 30-some-odd million reported foreign so far. But
that's just from Friday. It was from like Germany and one other country.
Yeah, it's not completely reported. So, I mean, it's going to make well over its budget this first weekend. So.
Yeah, it'll cross a billion mark by the end of the year probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, not too shabby for that
one. I didn't mind seeing that one twice. That one.
So you saw Star Wars twice.
Yeah.
But you saw Man of Steel 7 times.
I saw it 3 times.
You also saw Batman versus Superman 3 times.
Batman versus Superman, not Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman is what I saw 3 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't help me at all.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
No. Suicide Squad that I saw 7 times. Oh, I mean, come on.
Speaking of that, so that's getting a spinoff too. So they're doing Ayers is doing Gotham City Sirens.
God, that
which will be
awful.
It's that should have been the first one.
It just sounds awful.
And then they're doing a Deadshot spinoff.
I think it's if this this is what they do to punish film critics.
Yeah.
because look what happens. Adam Sandler goes to Netflix, so we don't have to do his movies anymore. And look what we get instead.
We get this.
We get these.
But I think they said everybody's like, but David Ayers isn't writing it, and I was like, uh huh.
He's not writing it in 2 weeks?
Yeah, right.
Like,
I didn't
maybe
realize
they
that he had
script.
6 weeks to write
I
that
mean,
script.
I mean, seriously, 6 weeks to write that movie. It's like,
shows.
Maybe they could have brushed it up a little bit.
No, but yeah, that was just announced this week.
But here's the deal. So a Harley Quinn movie, fine.
No,
Ivy,
no.
Catwoman, fine.
No, I don't think you can do a Harley Quinn movie.
I think you can.
No, I don't. She doesn't. There's no story.
You know what they're doing, though. They're trying to take
the
glimmer. Should they? They're taking the glimmer of what was a modicum of enjoyability in these movies, and they're going, there it is. There's
a movie.
No, it just meant that out of all the...
Yeah. There were a couple.
You
oh man,
this
Dan,
one moment
Dan,
where
you
like
better gawk, Dan.
Well, this is, hang on. We have to.
Let's back that train in a second.
We got to put a pin in this. Is this the first time we've ever had to bleep Dan?
I feel like it might be.
This is a real spoiler special report.
So after
coming
all
live.
This, there's this like whiff of like, you know, it's like a break in between a really long fart. Where you're like, oh good.
It's like this.
That doesn't mean you make a movie out of it,
right?
It's like you look in the toilet. Oh look, corn.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I did eat something healthy.
Yeah. It just.
They'll be on the soundtrack.
I think. I just.
Yeah. No. I mean, my point is like, okay, fine. I mean, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, I think she did a good job being that character. But like, we've seen David Ayer have his shot at directing these characters.
We've also seen Zack Snyder have a shot, and he keeps getting one.
Right. But that's my point. It's like, I'm not excited about him being attached to this.
Well,
like,
Zack can just keep giving him bigger guns.
Yeah.
Maybe if you had the whole Justice League.
Okay, that'll work.
He can't screw that
up. It's not my fault they activated my nuclear bat explosion. I didn't kill them.
Yeah, not me.
They pressed the button. I mean, I just left it there that said press. Like, yeah, those excuses are just getting more and more ridiculous. But anyway.
Didn't somebody just leave another one of their... Like, it's always like Aquaman or The Flash. Like, people seem to keep bailing out.
Aquaman's the one they haven't even hired yet.
So the future director already quit.
The director, Flash has lost two directors.
Wow.
They had the guys from Lego Movie, I think, was attached. And then they brought in somebody else and he just left. And then they delayed Aquaman again.
Yeah. God, Warner Brother executives deserve to be shot.
He just did. He just got canned. They brought in the guy who was, I guess, running New Line. The new head of Warner Brothers.
I don't think it makes a difference. I mean, we'll see.
I think that whole company has their head up their asses about their characters.
You change that one guy and he's going to say yes or no to a couple things, but overall, he's not the one in there making the movie. You know, like, it's not going to make this spinoff good.
It's been Time Warner and DC like have had a pretty storied, like, solid history of being part of a larger corporation that makes movies. Like, it's not like a new thing to them.
I think, you know, ironically...
it's because they didn't evolve?
I think that's the problem. You know what I mean? I mean, I really do. I think that Marvel, because it was brand new, they and a boutique studio, essentially. Yeah. I know that sounds weird when they have movies making $1 billion, but they have one product that they focus on, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that... they kind of had to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
they don't stick to formula.
Right.
Yeah. All these guys are old movie execs who's like, hey, this formula is working. Let's push it out for everything.
Right.
So, the Nolan trilogy worked really great and it's dark. Let's make Superman dark too, because that's obviously the formula that worked.
Everybody loves it.
Yeah. Whereas Marvel has been smart since the beginning and has marketed every movie and had the stylistic tone different for every movie. Because they realize that because each character's different.
Well, and even this, and I think that really benefits them because essentially a lot of these movies have the same story beats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But because they're so tonally different, you don't feel like you're seeing the same story beats.
I felt that in Doctor Strange. Where I was like, okay.
Same beats.
Yeah.
And it did have a different tone of like feel to it.
But it was
Scott,
so different.
It was so
it was
different.
Refreshing.
But that was the first time that I remember seeing the, I was like, oh, this is the Iron Man beat.
Oh, it was still like, cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, still
but
good.
This cheeseburger is totally different.
Yeah. Oh, this one
oh,
has.
Oh, that's a cheddar cheeseburger.
Yeah. Right. This one has beer cheese on it.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. So, anyway, Rogue One about to turn a profit here in its first weekend. So that's good.
No, it won't. Well. Hollywood math.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're going to need it to make some money if ESPN doesn't turn around. Apparently, that's the biggest black sheep of Disney right now.
Isn't that weird? Like, because when you
ESPN
focus on
their number one moneymaker,
when you only focus
company.
On two sports, and
and people are watching less and less of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many different ways to get the product now, you know?
Yeah. Well,
sports are doing the same thing that a lot of these other industries are where they aren't adopting digital, like
streaming.
So for example, like I watch pretty much every Blues game and I would get the package that allowed me to the digital package that allowed me to stream games, but they black out every game locally. Why the fuck would I buy that? Like, there's no reason for me to spend $300 on a package that I can't watch a single game that I actually want to watch.
Cardinals are the
but
same
that's
way.
Like, that's like the old movie executives. That's the problem. Right. Is like all these old guys have the deals so that Fox Sports and ESPN and all these people can make the money, or else they're going to collapse because everyone will do that. Yeah, I mean, all the younger crowd that isn't 90, like, they're all going to go get the digital just for their team.
But what's crazy is I go out, I pirate the streams. I mean, I do not pay for them. Yeah. Because
they're forcing you to.
Forcing me to. Like, I would gladly pay for it.
Yeah.
But no, like, you don't want to do it. And it's the music industry, movie industry, sports, every single one of them is so backwards that they don't realize.
It's fan punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And you know what's not happily, like that, interestingly enough? Books.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I buy stuff on Kindle all the time because it's like, okay, it's right there.
Done. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they were, I mean, but yeah, I would happily pay $100.
I was one click. Boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Done.
I think times are changing, though. The cable companies are slowly dying off, and these new digital platforms, you have Sling, you have PlayStation View, you have DirecTV Now, you have all these companies that are changing the way that people get their programming. And then you have, what was the sports one that I was just, then you have WWE. That's a huge example, because they took $70 pay-per-views. If you wanted to watch WWE in your house, you had to pay $70. Now you can just sign up for their service for one month for $10 and get the $70 pay-per-view. Cancel it after that, or forget.
It's not just the pay-per-view, though. Like, they every video library they've ever bought, they have transferred to
I mean, you get a ton of bonus, but
you have to
is,
watch wrestling.
Uh-huh. Right, that's the
and
but,
I don't hear.
But I mean, think about that, though. Like, they took they've
WrestleMania realized, WrestleMania in HD was $80.
$80, and now you can pay $10.
Well, they probably realized that they were getting, you know, a third of their fans to do it once a year,
right?
And people would come over to the house, and where now
everyone that's a fan has
so
it
you
for
know
10
what
a month.
All this hinges on is having. It's broadband, basically the bandwidth speed, which is why like HBO were like, we could probably just go direct to the consumer, and not have to work with them.
$15 a month, I'm done.
Yeah, because you pay your cable company $15, and they get a cut, so it's like, well, just $15 a month.
Because they're like, people have enough bandwidth and speed coming into their houses, like we can stream
$15 a month for 1080p. Well, I guess as close as 1080p as you.
Well, that's why the telecoms are fighting.
Yes.
The bandwidth,
fighting that stuff so hard is they're losing.
They're
out.
Dying.
Yeah,
I mean, how many people are cutting the cord? And it's not just people in their 20s and 30s. I mean, you're talking about adults that are cutting the cord.
Oh yeah, my in-laws cut the cord last year. Yeah,
wow.
But that's a myth, because you're just getting a different cord.
Yeah,
you are. You're not. Unless you are like going electronic free. If you still want to watch something,
you're
just getting a different.
Well, sure, but it's a different cord.
It's like, it's the cloud. That's just somebody else's server.
It's another cord. It's a bigger cord, but you know what I mean.
People know what that means.
I tell people that I know they know what it means, but I'm always like,
yeah, but you're also
like, well, I got the 15 megabyte package. I'm like, no, man.
No.
You're going to need a bigger cord. It's just a different one.
No, I mean, I cut the cord on everything non-internet related. You know, I cut the cable box cord, but you got to have that 100 meg pipe.
Yes.
How are you going to access your Netflix and Hulu? And then
here comes 4K. Oh, guess what? You're going to need gigabit.
We're going to need a bigger cord.
We need a bigger cord. Fiber here soon, because you're going to need a bigger cord.
That's some bad connection,
that's
Harry.
Bad connection, Harry.
So anyway, coming in at number two, that other Disney property. Hey, same company, Moana, $13.5 million, which compared to $155 million doesn't sound so great, but it's a 27% drop for them in week four. They're up to $163 million in just 4 weeks, and that's domestically.
Well, it's funny because like my daughter heard that I was going to see this Rogue One. She's like, "Can I see it?" I'm like,
mine's the
Daddy
same.
Needs
mine was the first. Same way, because like we went through episode, one through seven, and then we got to the. She was like, "We're gonna go, right?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go see it."
And
first.
We'll talk about
it
in the next episode whether we think what the right call would be.
No, totally.
But yeah, same thing here, where it's like, I don't know until you see it.
I don't know.
However, here's Moana.
Yeah. So So Moana has made $100 million foreign.
I'll meet you in the lobby.
She's old enough to go on her own, right?
That'll be fine.
So Moana has made over $260 million on its $150 million budget, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
So $100 million over its budget in 4 weeks. So that one's doing great and is going to continue to do well. It's great.
When was the last time The Rock had a misfire? It's been a while, right?
Hercules?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess it hasn't been a while.
That probably is the only one, though, that's actually been
in the last 5 years, I guess, probably.
Yeah. Well, when
I forgot
he,
about that.
Well, when he came out and he played that guitar on WWE against...
Is that... I'm not
Vicky Guerrero.
You're not going to goad me. Like, I don't feel like getting death stares from everybody else at the table.
Yeah, why am I even trying that? So anyway, yeah, Moana doing very well in its fourth week. Number three, Office Christmas Party. That's week two for that movie. The rated R comedy brought in $8.9 million, a 47% drop. It is up to $31 million now, though, so it's not making a ton of money compared to those other movies. And I know Tom didn't have a very nice review for it, so I'm guessing the word of mouth probably isn't the best on it.
For collateral, for Office Christmas Party?
Yeah, yeah. Office Christmas.
Yeah, it was not.
I wonder
good.
If that's going to be more of a video, you know, make its money there. What's because...
The, do we have a... I feel like $31 million isn't awful.
Well,
it's
made,
probably 40 to 50.
It's a, yeah. It's a $45 million right. budget, but obviously only half of that
sure.
is profit.
How does it compare to The Night Before? Did you see that last year?
Oh, The
year?
Night Before is amazing.
So funny.
I haven't seen it. Okay. Haven't seen
that. But yeah. that is such a funny movie.
I think that's such a funny movie.
It is.
I love having, like, new Christmas movies.
Yeah.
So, like, that, yeah. I picked that one up.
But most of the crap we get is yeah. dysfunctional family Christmas yeah. or Bad Santa 2, you know, terrible ugh. Christmas movies. It's like, it's so nice to have
did they bring
ones.
The kid back from that, too?
Yeah.
There's never been a Bad Santa 2. I don't believe that.
The kid from Bad Santa, I was like, is that Tom's son?
Oh, I thought you said Tom that? Saw it. I was
oh,
like,
no,
no
I didn't. That was the one, though, right?
And Tom's like, don't you no. put that on me.
Oh, which one was it?
Zach was almost in Fred Claus.
Fred Claus. Okay, yeah. sorry.
This shows you, circling back around to Dwayne Johnson, I was
yeah.
looking at,
yeah.
you know, and this shows you a true movie star can be in bad movies.
And still make money.
And you don't remember it.
Right.
Oh, like okay. flops. I have no recollection of this. He was in Jim and the Holograms?
Oh, wow.
Oh, it had to have been a bit part.
Or as a character. Like, did he star as himself?
Yeah, he must have had a cameo
they
of
didn't
himself
because
he's listed
it, so.
As Dwayne Johnson.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, I saw that movie. I don't remember it.
It had oh, to have really? Been like they were in Hollywood passing.
He was,
yeah.
he was just, on a TV screen.
Yeah. I mean, he was. Yeah, I'm just like, what is that? Yeah,
he was weird. On a TV yeah. screen. So
like, no, he's in it. He's
before
in it.
That, you have to go back
the
to like.
The Rock and Jim and the Holograms.
Like Snitch or Empire State were probably
oh, Empire State's a pile of garbage.
Do you think Baywatch is going to
be think
well?
Baywatch is going to
I think it might.
Well.
I think
that could be funny.
It looks tongue-in-cheek.
I think it looks like they're doing the 21 Jump
Street.
That's
right. exactly yeah. what I thought. Yeah.
The trailer played pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the trailer was really funny.
That's because like, you cut the cord. You got the big pipe.
That's right.
Well, they're like, you guys aren't cops. And I'm like, oh, good.
There's
they're going to
no,
play
there's
it
There's no such thing as lifeguard in pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. So, yeah, but I mean, yeah, The Rock has a pretty darn good career, so I think he might
yeah,
be going
well,
somewhere.
Yeah, well, once he figured it out.
Yeah.
Because he was doing that family stuff for a while. And it
you
was
know, I thought
working.
He figured out with the Rundown.
The Rundown.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, but,
the,
well, yeah
that's
but he did
but
he
the
did
audience
that, and then,
didn't figure
and
it out.
And that's the movie where Schwarzenegger shows up and kind of
yeah.
hands him the torch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think is funny because like, I feel like there was like a gap where like Schwarzenegger and Stallone got a little too old and
right.
that yeah. action movie star kind of died off and there was no like just
yeah.
guy.
Nope.
Yeah. And then, yeah, there's and all of a sudden,
there he is.
He's here.
Yeah, but yeah. he did the Rundown, and then he went to do the Disney stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you gotta get your paycheck.
And then he came. Well, I also think smart. He was trying to still cut his teeth.
Yeah.
He's still trying to figure out the whole acting
eat.
Thing. That's true.
He's got to eat a lot.
He's got yeah.
he's carbo loading.
Look at that. Yeah. He's got muscles on that
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, once he, I think he did, there was a flick called Faster that's not a Fast and Furious
yeah, I remember
movie.
That, yeah.
That was pretty good, and that was kind of his comeback into action. Gotcha.
Don't call it a comeback.
It's worked out. Don't call it a comeback.
He's been here for years.
So, anyway, Office Christmas Party, about $30 on its $45 million budget. It does have $20 million foreign, so
that's
it
weird
is
too.
About up to $45 on its $45 budget. So.
You don't see that a lot for American comedies yeah. in foreign markets.
You see it more and more, though, and I have to think, like, digital distribution, like, they're putting
oh,
it out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little easier for them to get out there. Number four, Collateral Beauty. That's the new Will Smith movie in its opening weekend. $6.9 million. And,
did you see that, Tom?
Yes.
Oh.
I've heard terrible things about this.
Whatever you've heard is not...
doing it justice.
It's not doing it justice for how bad this movie is.
Yeah, I hear it's just nothing but hokey bullshit.
Is it A Christmas Carol?
No.
It's not?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought it was from the trailer.
No, I get
that. $6.9 million on a $36 million budget. Opening weekend.
This is probably one of the most wrong-headed movies I've ever seen
what
in my
mean?
Life.
What does that mean?
Like, okay, so I'm just going to ruin the whole... damn movie
just
for
do
you.
It.
Done. Just going to do it. So, Will Smith plays this charismatic ad executive, right?
And, I'm out.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, because he only plays a charismatic ad executive for about 35 seconds. Okay. That's the opening scene. And then we move ahead like 3 years, and now he's got gray hair, and he's catatonic, and he's still in his office. He owns the
agency. A marketing job will do that to you. Yeah. I think we can attest to that.
So, he's sitting there like setting up dominoes, like and he's just like huge.
Is he supposed to be like Howard Hughes?
And like,
well, he's making the music videos for OK Go.
Yeah. So it turns out that like his 6-year-old daughter has died, and he's like, you know, it really messed with his head. And so
you can make another Will. Come on.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so
coming from the guy whose wife is pregnant.
Yeah. And so so his agency that he owns is in disarray, and they have an offer on the table.
You have the 60-minute of suck rule.
Yeah.
60-second
of suck. They have an offer on the table to sell the thing, but they can't get him to reply, right? So they realize, but he's not engaging. So they follow him, and they realize that he's been writing these letters, but he's not writing letters to people. He's writing letters to abstract concepts like love, time, and death.
Oh.
So
deep.
They decide they're going to hire actors to play love, time, and death, and respond to the letters.
So the people that we've seen in the trailer are not figments
better.
Of his imagination.
I've read about what happens next.
Yeah. So and then they're going to film him and digitally erase them so he looks crazy, so they can get control.
Oh my this God. Doesn't sound so convoluted
like,
at all.
To me, when I read about that,
I haven't even scratched
the
surface.
Why not just show the letters to show that he's crazy? Why do you have to film him and digitally erase somebody?
So, but here's the thing. Like, so when you hear this concept of a film, right, you're thinking you can go one of two directions. There, it's either like wacky high concept premise, right? Hijinks will ensue, or these people that are doing this are like evil and they're the bad people, and you can't wait for them to get their comeuppance.
Right. Which one is it, Tom?
But there's a third choice. There's a third choice in which the three people that are conspiring with the actors who play those three people are truly his dearest friends, and they care for him, and they're doing this out of the kindness of their heart. At no point are they portrayed as like evil or bad or wrong. Like, it's like, because like they're doing this because the company's collapsing and they want to save it and they want to save him, and so this is presented as like, you know, like they're doing the right thing. Okay. They're doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. Yeah. And then of course each person, right, that's helping has their own subplot that perfectly pairs up with their respective love, time, or death counterpart. And then in the meantime, you keep seeing Will Smith go into these counseling, like these group therapy things where he just stares in the window, but he won't go in. And then he finally goes in and he has this kind of spark with the lady that runs the place. Right?
It's played by Jennifer Esposito.
Is she? I don't know.
I feel like this is the role that she would be in at this
point. But she also lost a child. And so like they're kind of bonding over that. But he's real standoffish. And, you know, and he's like, well, I'm still in love with my wife. Even though we're divorced, and she's like, well, I'm still in love with my husband, even though we're divorced. Blah, blah.
Oh, those cancel out.
And they're doing, so it's okay. So they're doing that. And then she gives this big speech about, like, you know, when her kid was dying, there was this lady sitting next to her on the bench, and she gave her, said that you need to keep an eye out for the collateral beauty in the world. She gives a 5-minute speech about collateral beauty. I still don't know what it means. Like, it doesn't make any damn sense, right? And so now all this is really bad, icky stuff, right? Okay, now let me get to the bad part.
Oh, is this going to be like Identity Thief, where we're supposed to feel bad for the antagonists?
No, I mean, like, they're never portrayed as bad people, right? So he ends up signing, selling the company, so they make all their money, and then he signs, there's some other document that they've been badgered him to sign, and it's basically to, like, kind of dissolve his daughter's trust fund. So now it's Christmas Eve, and he decides he's going to go to this woman's house from the grief counseling place, right? And so he goes to her house on Christmas Eve, and he walks into her house, and as they're walking through their house, anybody?
The daughter.
It's his wife. Like,
what's
this
wife?
This lady is his wife that he's divorced from, and like they've been like dancing around the fact that
holy
this is his.
Oh, sorry, he's been
so the entire time this this counselor is his wife.
Right.
Yeah. That's why she's still in love with her husband.
Yeah. Right. I know. Right.
Yeah. 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 So, and wow. So like, yeah. So like, it's like, oh, wow. It's a twist. You're blowing my mind, Hallmark. And, and then just in case, like one more punch of what a movie this is. So then she like tells her story again about the lady that gives her the collateral beauty speech.
It's the same gal.
And boom, it's the actress who was playing Love or Time or Death or go yourself.
I don't remember. Hired, told her that.
Yeah. Wow. Like, but like, you know, obviously like 3 years ago.
Right.
And then at the end, they're walking through Central Park and he looks up and he sees the three actors who played Live from Death looking at them over a bridge. And like,
they all jump.
And yeah, if only. And then he turns back around and they're gone. So I think they were trying to say, like, maybe they were really that the whole time. Oh, and I'm just like, what the holy hell is happening? Like, this is such a shitty movie.
Oh, my God.
And, like, and especially, like, when we just saw Manchester by the Sea,
yeah.
A really intense, authentic movie about the grief a parent would suffer at the hands of losing a child, right? And like, it does this weird thing where even though the movie's telling you, like, oh, this character's supposed to move on, that's for the best, but it's also kind of looking at you and winking and going, but really, I mean, look how much he loves his kid. You probably wouldn't love your kid that much.
Oh,
you
know
what I mean?
I see.
Like, and like, ugh. Where Manchester by the Sea is like, this guy is paralyzed.
He's
crippled by the loss of these children. And it's not portrayed in like a, he's a hero or a martyr way. It's right. Like, oh my God, what a hellish existence this guy leads. Where this presents it as like some sort of weird grief, like, porn.
That's not so bad. So somebody needs, this is like his second or third time. So
I was just gonna say the same thing where it's
pursuit
just like
of happiness.
You know how we were just talking about The Rock has,
and then there's that seven pounds. So Will Smith needs maybe some guidance on what an art house film makes.
He needs to stop making movies that are spec scripts based on the Glurge section of Snopes.
But I mean, he hasn't had a bona fide hit in
Suicide Squad.
Man, and that's tough. Like, and that,
I mean
you're not wrong.
Financially,
you are correct. But like, he was the box office.
He used to be Will Smith.
Man, that's
you know,
the thing.
In the 90s.
You say Will Smith, $100 million. Easy.
Well, okay, so we've seen...
Except for Jersey Girl.
We've seen
Jim Carrey do Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. We've seen Will Ferrell do Stranger Than Fiction. So it can happen.
What was the other one he did where he was... his wife put him out on the...
Everything Must Go?
That was good.
Adam Sandler, Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
The movie is fantastic.
We've seen this work.
You're right.
Like, it can work. And it's like, Will Smith, who still has some clout, it's like, he's just trying too hard.
Yeah. I think he just needs to stick with action, like, good action movies.
I don't think...
Pursuit of Happiness was probably the closest to, like, being like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he reeks of desperation.
He wants that
Oscar,
and that's why they got so upset. I think last year about him not getting for Concussion.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess just, he did. That was well received.
But I also think, it was
mildly well received. Yeah. The problem with Concussion, and it's not his fault, the story's not over.
Oh, right. It's still going.
They made the movie too soon. Like, you know, the story's not done.
They're doing a Chris Benoit movie. Which I feel like...
Are we going back to this beads we were talking about earlier?
No. Okay. So Chris Benoit is that wrestler...
Who killed his family.
Yeah.
But...
Who is moving that?
Liev Schreiber was going to be Benoit.
Wow.
And it's just like, when you see them all like side by side, you're like, ooh.
He's going to have to
that's
really...
super creepy. No. Like, they look alike.
Yeah, but I mean, as a wrestler, you got to get like in super shape.
I mean, you can...
Yeah, but he'll do
that,
it. That guy's a
steroids.
Yeah.
That's how he did it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's a story that's over. Like, the Benoit story is over.
Right.
Obviously, that the CTE stuff. But yeah, the NFL, that's still...
Yeah, I mean, they just announced last week about the... that. It's like a $12.2 billion payout.
Oh,
or
yeah,
like
it's
that.
Huge.
Or $22 billion payout.
It's a massive.
Yeah.
That's why they have a union.
Yeah.
Well,
so don't
hey,
go
everybody,
see Collateral.
We just saved you some money.
Sorry if you were planning to see Collateral Beauty, but
don't.
You're welcome. Send me your $8.
Yeah, or $4. I mean, come on, it's the holidays. At least just take half.
Yeah, that's fair.
Keep a little for yourself.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 5, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It's another $5.1 million.
I'm going to spoil this one, too. Under the Couch. That's where you find them.
That's not where they've been the whole time.
The whole time. You're going to feel like such an idiot when you see them under the couch.
Suitcase.
Fantastic Beasts made $5.1 million. It's a 51% drop in week five, so still making plenty of money. $207 million domestic. But wait, how about another $483 million foreign, so call it 500, so almost $700 million on a $180 million budget.
Did you say caller 500? Are we giving away tickets?
It won't cross that billion-dollar mark, but it'll get close enough where they'll continue to make them.
Four more.
They're doing what's his name? Dumbledore.
I think they would be smart to not...
leave Newt
come
alone.
Back around to Newt later, like make him like a supporting character, but like don't do this again.
No.
So this is a totally original story. Blake, you're a huge Harry Potter fan. We haven't gotten your opinion. I mean, what do you think of Fantastic Beasts?
I mean, I think it was exciting to see a new portion of the Harry Potter world where like Harry wasn't around. And, like, you got to see some cool stuff. The story wasn't like completely cohesive, and Eddie Redmayne is not. I just don't like Eddie Redmayne.
Yep. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
That's all we were saying. Yep.
And then like his love interest, Porpentia or Tina or whatever, is boring as hell. Yeah. The side characters were the best thing about that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan Fogler. He's great. I can't remember the girl who
the sister.
Which,
Yeah.
I like
talking about reading your mind, right? Yeah.
Oh, I was listening to that. Yeah. I listened to that podcast, and you guys kept on doing trivia or having trivia wrong, and I was like, no, I should have been on this one.
Gotta choose Star Wars or Fantastic Beasts.
But yeah, so I liked it. I don't think it was perfect, but I thought it was a good start to it. But yeah, I think moving away from Newt would be a good
yes.
Yeah, I think still have him there, but not. The center,
the main,
of
the story. Yeah.
Put them in the periphery. You know, make them like the Ron.
Yeah,
you know, like it's like okay.
But you know, we talk about Warner Brothers, and they are the number two studio box office wise in 2016 behind Disney.
Well, so, I think that's despite themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not failing. You know, Suicide Squad made $700 million. This made $700 million.
Think about if the movies had actually been good.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like that Batman vs Superman is a $1.5 billion movie if it's good.
Right. It's not. It's more about, it's not that they didn't make money, but look at all the money they left on the table.
Yeah.
Right.
When you have the potential for Batman v Superman to make $2 billion and it only makes 1 point whatever, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of money, but look at all the money you lost. And so
I mean, not to get into Rogue One, but I mean, it just shows you the difference between Warner Brothers and Disney when you talk about all the reshoots that Rogue One went to try to get it right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's something that WB... it doesn't seem capable of doing.
Yeah.
To actually look at their product and say, oh, you know what? Maybe we need to take
I don't know. They reshot Suicide Squad. They had two entirely different movies screen.
I think they reshot a lot of BVS, too. Yeah. I think there were some reshoots on that one as well.
If these Warner Brothers, if movies were Christmas presents, right?
Yeah.
These Warner Brothers movies, they would be like an Axe body spray gift pack.
You know? Of not like the ones that people may find.
No, they got that
less
orange
offensive
clearance sticker from Target.
Right.
They get like the one that smells like chocolate.
The one that just says,
the
one that just says, I have no idea what to get you.
Yeah.
I am.
But this is popular.
I am familiarly obligated to purchase you something.
There's some
spray.
Here's
a pomade.
Yeah.
And you get a free sample of the deodorant.
Yes.
And you know you smell bad when your family is telling you, Axe body spray is a step in the right direction.
I don't even think those cans have off buttons. I think once you start it, you have to use the whole can. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
they're like, just like bug bombs.
Like a bug farm.
Yeah, yeah. You put it down, press the button, and just let it go.
God.
In your closet, and then all your clothes get there.
Oh, yeah, smell like Axe. And you can go to a movie like, I wasn't scared.
Yes. You're obligated to say that.
You have to every time.
Number six, Manchester by the Sea. Speaking of good movies, $4.3 million, a 37% increase in week five.
Bumped up a little bit.
Yeah, it's doing quite well. $14 million for this little indie art house movie that is, I think, wide release for its second week now. Don't have a foreign number, don't have a budget on it, but I think it's a small enough. What do you think? $10 million, probably?
God, I can't imagine it's much more than that.
I would think. I mean, just because it does have some names in it.
Just to overestimate.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those
20.
That they I think just it's take. One of those movies where everybody took a pay cut because of what it is. Sure. You know?
Didn't but Stallone do that in Copland?
Yeah.
Yes. And it was a good movie.
And then he stopped doing that. It's like,
you don't give up. Is that because he wanted to get that made, or he just wanted to be in it?
I think that was his bid for Oscar.
Yeah.
Oh. And
little did he know that Creed was coming down the pike.
Yeah. And it just didn't, it was good, but it wasn't quite at that level. And right. I think he was like, okay, never mind. And he continued.
I think it was his bid for free donuts.
Well, he did, but he bulked up and not in the normal way for that one.
Yeah. That's one of those movies that's like, yeah, it's good. Everybody's good in it. It just didn't resonate.
I liked it, but that's Michael Rapaport
I think as people went to it and they were thinking it was going to be the next Goodfellas, and that's just not fair.
Right on.
Wasn't that good.
It doesn't have, it's not a dynamic movie.
Right.
It's sort of like a slow boil.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And people were wanting to think like, oh, this is going to be really big and showy and splashy. It's like, no.
No. Yeah. Pretty self-contained.
So I'll have to put a little indie movie here, La La Land, which still isn't wide release.
Yeah, it's only like 200 theaters.
It is actually number 6. So Manchester by the Sea is number 7 technically. It made $100,000 less than La La Land. So make a little amendment.
Suck it, Manchester by the Sea.
Six times less theaters.
It is. La La Land is on 200, or is it 200 locations compared to Manchester by the Sea's 842. So that movie is doing incredibly well, and that did open in St. Louis.
Yes.
This week. Okay. And so you've seen it.
It was good.
You were the one that I wanted to hear.
Yeah. What is your take on La La Land?
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was, I know some people were complaining because they don't feel like they're very good singers or dancers. Like, they're not bad, but they're not like amazing. But I think when you see it, that kind of, to me, that made the movie more endearing, because it's odd the way it's both whimsical and very grounded in reality. And I think part of how it maintains that is by not having these two people be amazing singers and dancers. Right. And I don't want to make it sound like they're bad.
Right.
But there are certainly better singers and dancers.
I mean, Ryan
Hollywood.
Gosling was on the Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that speaks for itself. That guy's amazing.
They got a good track record.
Well, no, just that class.
Yeah.
That class was stacked.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, like I said, it's not like they're incapable or they're awful,
right?
But there are certainly people that would be better if you were casting just for that.
She did an impression of Britney Spears.
Yeah.
That is uncanny. If you didn't know that it was Emma Stone, she sounds just like her. It's creepy how much she sounds like her.
But no, I like, and the songs were really good, especially in that they're new songs, but they're trying to sound like old songs, but they don't sound like. They're trying.
Are they original songs?
Okay.
It's really weird because it's a movie set in present day. It's like anachronistic in the backwards way that it usually is. So it's present day, but it feels like a 50s musical.
Right.
But with all modern setting, and
it looks like it was shot in like old Technicolor.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. Like bright colors and
like old school set. Yeah. You know,
it starts off saying it was filmed in Technicolor, right? Or filmed in Panavision?
That's what it was. I think
Panavision. Filmed in Panavision. Yeah. Like, they make it look like the old logo, and it says filmed in Panavision. But, it is such a charming movie. And those three, this is their third movie together.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the old days, like back when actors and actresses would be paired up in the studio.
What was
their
second movie together?
Gangster Squad.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a movie that happened.
But I mean, it reminds me of, like, that could work with these two. And, like, they used to do it all the time.
Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper.
Well, that's the other one. Yeah, exactly. Except for that last one. I don't even think
the
I saw
that
one. But
that one.
The
Serena.
Oh, the Serena.
Maybe they just need David O. Russell.
Nobody bats 1,000.
Yeah. Nope. So that movie was brilliant. It's such a different movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. You love musicals. I do too.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. Just the way it is. It's such a unique musical.
Yeah, no, it was really good.
And I say it's probably 50-50. Like, it's not, the whole thing isn't a musical. There's a lot of dramatic acting and a lot of just regular dialogue. Like, whereas musicals, every 5 minutes you'll bust into a song. Like, this is like half and half. So if you're not huge on musicals, don't think the entire thing is, but if you like musicals.
But I think what makes it special is the musical aspect.
And if you like musicals, you'll love those parts.
I hear a lot of people saying that this and Manchester by the Sea are two of the favorites for Best Picture. You agree?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think this will probably win it because it's going to appeal to the older Academy voter in a way, because it harkens back to, you know,
it's old Hollywood.
Yeah, I want to see both of them real bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, that one is number 6. Manchester by the Sea is just barely number 7. Number 8, Arrival with $3 million. So Amy Adams still sticking in the top 10 here. That's a 46% drop in week 6.
Her movie last week isn't going to stick around. So.
Yeah. And that movie has made $86 million domestic. And let's see, Arrival has made about $50 million foreign. So it's up around 130-ish on a $47 million budget. So that's profit right there.
With that.
Yeah. La La Land, actually, you know, going back, I just don't want to skip over that. They actually have a $4 million foreign gross, which I didn't realize. So
is that Ryan Gosling money?
It's interesting. So yeah, add another. I mean, it's a movie about LA and old Hollywood. Like, I didn't necessarily think that would have made so much foreign, but add that to its coffer there. And let's see. Coming in at number 9, Doctor Strange. So that one is still making a ton of money.
Three Disney movies in the top 10.
I was
going to
say, another Disney. $2.2 million, a 51% drop in week 7. And you're getting into a pretty crowded box office here, and that one is still reigning supreme here. $226 million domestic, and then throwing another $425 million foreign. So you're up about $650 million on a $165 million budget.
Yeah, with Guardians on the horizon.
Yeah.
I guess Logan is next. And that's not technically a Marvel movie.
No, that's yeah, Fox.
And you saw Doctor Strange, Blake?
Yeah.
And so do you think it's deserving of $650 million?
Yeah. I mean, I liked it. Yeah. I mean, it's...
You're just like,
allow it.
Yeah. It's all right. Would you have ever expected Doctor Strange to make $650
million? Well, I mean, it's like, if you'd asked me, like, 10 years ago whether or not Iron Man would make
right.
I mean, Iron Man was right. not something... And now it's, like, the biggest Marvel character. And, like, so, I mean, I think that they could take... any
at this point you're like Micronauts whatever
Micronauts, I mean, I think the Marvel thing
I still remember when Star Wars got bought by Disney for $4 billion and was like, oh man, Disney. But now I'm thinking that's
the
best thing that could have happened.
They overpaid, or just you didn't want Disney to have a stake in it?
I mean, that was still like when Marvel was still kind of they had started to prove themselves, but it wasn't, you know, just not like where we know that they're just gonna knock it out of the park every time. I don't know what happened, because they, after the golden age that they had in the 90s, Disney really floundered for a bit.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like what we were talking about with Warner Brothers, is that
they figured out their formula.
The industry evolved,
and
they didn't. So they, if it wasn't for Pixar, which they really didn't control, you know, they were still, you know, Pixar doing Toy Story.
Finally.
Yeah. And they're doing Brother Bear.
Disney,
yeah.
I mean,
that's right.
They started, honestly, for their animation, it was with Tangled. For their movies, it was Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, I think you can see where these moments were, like
Princess
they
and
were,
the Frog, I think, is when they was really when the animation
that was,
started.
That was Eisner.
Yeah, halfway. Didn't
that's Lasseter's first
that's, transitional
that's
period.
That's when Lasseter came in and said, "No, we're gonna go back to a traditional animation for a film, and we're gonna actually invest in it." You know,
and it's funny. Like I had a guy I worked with, and when he heard the Disney news about Star Wars, he was like, oh, I'm like, no, think about this. Just think for a second. I go, for the first time ever, you have the opportunity to eat in the cantina.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
totally.
He's like, that would be pretty cool.
Well, that's the problem. I've heard a lot of people, and I know it's happened for a while. We already have a year of this being proven to us that Disney can handle Star Wars. But back in the day, people were like, oh, what are they going to do with it? You know, this is Mickey Mouse. This is the kids' cartoon stuff. But it's like, look at Disney as a company. You have to think of the business. They made a $4 billion investment, and they have shareholders to report to. Like, they make smart business decisions.
Well, I don't
Marvel. We've already seen what they did with Marvel. Now this is the same company buying Disney or Lucas for $4 billion.
We know that he had, I mean, like you said, he had everything locked up going into the, before the sale.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, well, you know, with the original cast.
Yeah. He had a handshake.
And a rough treatment.
Not that his story made much.
Didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he had it, but not
didn't
that
matter.
They used
he
it.
Just drove up high value.
He said they used nothing of his episode 7 story.
I think,
that's fine.
I think Dark Horse put out a 6-issue miniseries that was his original script, and it is awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Like his original script?
Like General the Will?
What he wanted to do?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, Luke Starkiller was like an older dude.
Yeah, I have that set.
Yeah. Terrible.
Well, yeah. I read it. I was like,
and that's Lucas's treatment?
It was his original script. Well, yeah. the original idea for the first draft.
But there are nuggets there. Some of them, and we'll talk about it. Like the Wills, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. You could tell who were the, we'll get into it, but you can tell who the Star Wars super nerds are.
Oh, yeah.
Because they would react to the things. Yeah. We're just like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had a couple behind me.
By the way, did you know that Saw Gerrera is a George Lucas created character?
Really?
Yeah. The live action TV show that he was planning on doing. Remember that?
Yeah.
When we went to that Saw Gerrera was supposed to be one of the characters.
Wow. Really?
Isn't he on Clone Wars?
He's on Rebels, right?
Yeah. No, he was on Clone Wars.
He's about to be on Rebels.
Yeah, he was younger in Clone Wars.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And we'll get into who that is.
Crossing over to every medium.
Yeah. And number 10, sorry, Nocturnal Animals. You got bumped to 11 because of La La Land. So.
Good.
Nocturnal Animals made $1.3 million in week two. What is it, like week two wide release? So that one is gone.
I think it's week three.
Yeah, is it? But yeah. So Trolls will round out our top 10 with $1.4 million, a 54% drop, $147 million. Trolls has made almost $200 million. It's like $175 foreign. So, I mean, it's well over $300 million on a $125 million budget. So it's profitable.
Trolls too?
Definitely.
I don't know. Maybe?
Probably. Let's be honest.
I mean,
who put that out?
There'll be some sort of...
Yeah, is it DreamWorks? Is that DreamWorks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I can see kids picking up a lot on Blu-ray or watching it a lot. And
My kid likes those songs.
And the second one being bigger if they do a second one just because kids are consuming it daily.
Yeah.
You know, Blake was going to say kids were stupid.
You know what?
Oh, I don't hide that.
I'll tell you, I don't know if I talked about this, but like I've started to figure out their marketing, how they're doing it.
For Trolls?
Well, for a lot of those movies, is that they, the marketing arm of the studios, they're making stuff that they give free to daycares, like puzzles and stickers.
Disney
and
Ice has been doing that for years.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And because my daughter came home and she was like naming all these characters. I'm like, what? And she goes, oh, that's Princess Poppy. I'm like, so finally one day I was picking her up and I realized, I'm like, there's all this Trolls crap. And I'm like, oh, my God. They totally, like, you know, gateway drugged her.
Yeah.
Now she has to go see Trolls.
Well, yeah. And so, like, they know already. Yeah. So then they come home and they're asking about it. It's like, yeah, okay. So what they're doing is they're you know, making this stuff, and it's under education. And, you know, schools
write it
always
send
need.
It to them
I can't decide if that's evil or brilliant or both.
I think it's a combination of both. Yeah, I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
You know.
Everybody wins.
Disney on Ice, Sesame Street Live, they've been doing that for years. Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah, but it was one of those things. I was like, oh.
In Trolls, they do the Sound of Silence. Mm-hmm. So, and Bella, my daughter... really like that song. I was like,
because she watches the Hill. What is that? The Hills Have Eyes? They use that in the remake.
So you guys watched The Graduate?
Yeah, right. So I was like, let's just listen to the original version of this, and I don't have to hear.
And she was like,
yeah, whatever. I guess they copied Anna Kendrick. I was like, yeah, they copied Anna Kendrick. That's what
they copied.
They sure did.
It's okay, Garfunkel.
And then you showed her.
Garfunkel had crazy hair too.
Yeah, that's right.
They copied Anna Kendrick. If only
I could.
Yeah, then you showed her a picture of Mark Garfunkel today.
Yeah.
Buy your own Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
I'd never leave the house.
Oh. I'd buy that for a dollar.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
I'm Blake Fail. You can find me on Twitter at EpicFail or at St. Brewis.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerQbert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, you can do it at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or on our woefully under-updated website, RealSpoilers.com, which can also be found at its mirror URL, DirtyPirateHookers.com. Remember, it's hookers plural because who wants only one dirty pirate hooker? Not you.
And 'tis the season.
Yeah. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
And if they're pirate hookers, I mean, you need like a good set to get a full, like, you know,
set of eyes.
Well, two arms, two legs. I mean, they're not concurrent in the same
person.
What's odd is you would get like you would get two eyes, two legs, but like three nipples.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's all out of whack.
Hey, so weird.
Look, it's all you got to really got to decide which is most important for you.
Which one has scurvy? Which one doesn't?
It's dysentery.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, no,
that is a problem.
Some of them have peg nipples. They've been replaced.
And seen.
Tell me more. Yeah.
Well, they're made entirely out of pencil erasers. You're regretting asking to hear about more now, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
Go on.
It's my fetish.
So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, La La Land.
No. Excellent.
It'll be, what is it called?
Rogue One.
Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. It's all wonky.
Episode 3.1.
It's actually Rouge One.
Or 4.1.
A Grandma Story. Yeah.
At the Plaza Frontenac. Yeah. So there you go. Till then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ba-da, 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 ba-da.